Welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program addressing the ramifications of change in our communities and beyond, and how today's choices will impact tomorrow's community. This program is a combined project of KCBX and our team of program hosts. Today on Central Coast Voices, join host Fred Monroe and his guests from First 5 San Luis Obispo County. We're going to hear about their efforts to build local community programs to improve the lives of young people and their families. And we invite you to listen, learn, and participate in our conversation today. We are live in the studio and able to take your calls at 805-781-3875. And with that, let's join Fred Monroe and his guests. Over
Thank
to you, Fred.
Brad. Good to be with you today. Good afternoon and welcome to Central Coast Voices. I'm your host, Fred Monroe. Our goal is to bring you credible, valid information and insights about diverse members of our community. Central Coast Voices addresses how today's choices will affect tomorrow's community. Sometimes that means changes. Sometimes that means evolution in community. Sometimes it means integrating more people into the daily life of our communities. Californians believe that our state's children are a top priority, and that's good to say. As part of that priority, in 1998, a proposition passed creating a 50-cent tax on the creation of a program called First 5 California, also known as California Children and Families Commission. First 5 is dedicated through a system of county programs to support education, health services, child care, and community building. And I can't emphasize the concept of community building enough when I look at this topic. First 5 San Luis Obispo County is the basically local arm of this outstanding program. Today on Central Coast Voices, we'll take a look at and share with you the First 5's work as it strengthens families, builds community, and improves the future for young California children. We'll hear about First 5's overall local programs and speak with the leaders of two specialized programs, one in Paso Robles and one in South County. We're glad to be part of this program. I've been aware of First 5 for a long, long time. One of my guests who's with First 5, is Jason Wells, I've known for some time because he was involved in really the work with the Community Foundation in keeping Central Coast Voices part of our community. So he has been helpful in a lot of ways. My guests are Jason Wells. He's the Associate Director of First 5 San Luis Obispo County. Megan Silaca. She is the Parenting Class Coordinator for the South County Children's Coalition. Silvano Vasquez. He's the Associate Program Director of MICOP. He will explain that better than I can in a little bit in Paso Robles. There is so much to talk about, and there are – you all know that I am excited about doing this program on a regular basis. I'm especially excited about this topic, and it's been, you know, a heartwarming topic for me for a long time. Because as people talk about the evolution of community, the evolution of sometimes in the immigrant community into our larger community, I am pleased with programs like First 5 who look at ways to basically make sure that families become more integrated to daily life if they're not familiar with that, and new parents look at having the tools to move forward and basically integrate their children into the larger community. We all win with that. I would prefer not to turn this into a debate as to whether or not immigrants belong in our community, because that's a topic, frankly, you do not want me to start on, or we will not have a good program talking about positive things like kids under the age of 5. Having said all that, Jason, why don't you give us a little background on First 5, and we'll go from there, because my explanations will be not nearly as concise as yours.
No, Fred. Well, first off, thank you for that introduction and thank you for having us here today. It's really fantastic to be here on Central Coast Voices. As you mentioned, you and I are both part of Action for Healthy Communities and helped support this program and so much of the information that's gone out. And actually, your backstory, the origin story, if you will, of First 5 was really great and helps put into perspective where we are at. So the first thing I'll say is, you know, a lot of people have kind of heard about First 5, but they don't really know what it is. They maybe have heard a commercial on the radio or seen a commercial on TV. They've heard about Talk, Read, Sing, or they've heard about toxic stress. And they're like, oh, I think I saw a sign or a billboard that had First Five on it, but they don't really know what it is. And so, yeah, starting off with what First Five is, I think, is a good way to launch us into this discussion. So First Five is a public agency that works with and supports children prenatal to age five and their families. And at First Five, our mission, our focus, our vision is that all children will be healthy, developing to their optimal potential, and that they will succeed and thrive in school and in life. And so we start from that place. We do that in a lot of ways. But primarily, we have sort of three ways that we approach this mission and this vision. And the three ways are we advocate. So by that, I mean we advocate for systems change and policies that will help young children and their families thrive in this county. The other way we do that is we fund programs. And by that, I mean First Five disperses over $1 million a year to services and programs and agencies throughout the county to serve and address the needs of young children and their families. And then finally, the third way that we try to reach our mission is we convene. And we do that by bringing together other family-serving agencies and adjacent, they're not all family-serving agencies by their own missions, to coordinate, to collaborate, to plan together, because First Five alone can't address all the issues that families with young children have. And so together, we think we can make an impact. We know that First Five is just a part of the answer, and we like to bring all of our partner agencies together to work on the solutions.
As I mentioned in my earlier comments, a lot of the programs that First Five is funding are programs that are dealing with, if you will, immigrant population or non-English speaking populations. My observation is, and it may not be shared with everyone, is that bringing those people into programs like First Five helps also integrate them into the larger community, which ultimately spends less tax dollars and less community dollars to try and support those families. But I'm wondering if is that a question you get often?
You know, it's a question that comes up, and I would address it this way. It's not that integration is not necessarily our primary concern. First Five services are available to all children. And that's the way that when they wrote the legislation, they were clear about that. First Five funding, the services that we put our money towards are available to any child or family where there's a child under 5 years old. What we tend to do is we tend to try to focus on what the need is in the community. And so if the need is in the South County for English-speaking families or English-speaking moms who are needing opportunities for to help with perinatal mental health issues, then that's where we're going to put our focus. If the need is in the North County where there needs to be oral health services for children because there's a lack of safety net oral health services for children, then that's where we're going to put our support. If the need is Spanish-speaking families who could use a parent-child engagement program, or in this case we're going to be talking about later today, mixed Eco-speaking and Spanish-speaking families, then that's where we're going to try to step up. We can't fill all the holes, but we try to listen to the community, both our partner agencies, members of the public, and families in particular, to understand what they need. And we're going to be less concerned about their integration, quote unquote, and more concerned about, are the children doing well? How are the children doing, Fred? That's what we're after. Are they healthy? Are they developing to their optimal potential? And are they thriving and succeeding in school and in life? That's what we're trying to do.
I would assume also that we're looking at the fact that the more you include that, I can't think of a better word, fringe community, if you will, that are fringe by language or ethnic background, into programs that are part of programs like First Five, you end up with a population that is more willing to risk asking for help, risk saying what's available to me, risk reaching out to someone they've never met before that they thought was not an accessible person. So my hunch is you co-build communities on both sides. The Anglo community learns more about different peoples than they deal with on a daily basis, and vice versa. And that's a plus.
Yeah. So I would look at it this way. My background is all public health. That's where I come from. And in public health, no matter what area of public health that you are involved in, a lot of the work that you are trying to do is build trust in your communities, build trust in whatever group or organization or city or state level that you're working with, so that whatever healthy intervention you have, be it sidewalks in the community or safety net clinics, that you're going to be able to bring, that you're going to be able to set those supports up so that the community utilizes them. I think what you're talking about is, you know, in every community, there are marginalized people, there are marginalized groups, and the more we can work closely with them, number one, we're going to be able to deliver the services that, or our partner agencies, because stepping back, First Five doesn't deliver any direct services. But say, for instance, we're supporting a program at Capslo or at Public Health. All the people that are doing that work, the public health nurses or the family advocates, they're trying to establish trust with families out in the community. And when they do that, there is one, yes, we as the workers learn more about these communities. And the families then perhaps gain trust in the people they're working with and are able to access the resources that these agencies have. We all have needs, all of us. Sometimes in these marginalized communities, they may have more needs than, say, the average person who lives, you know, in the heart of San Luis Obispo. And so the more opportunity we have to deliver the services and help meet the needs of these families, that's what we're trying to do.
As you say that, what comes to mind too is you lower the risk, the feeling of risk for that population to step out of their comfort zone and to ask for assistance, ask to be part of programs.
Well, it's a big ask also, because make no mistake that a marginalized community, they didn't do it to themselves. The issues that people in marginalized communities, whether it be their ethnicity, their sexual identity, that's something that has been done to them. And so it's on us who work in public health, who work in education, who work in social services, to try to bridge that gap and do our best to support those people, those families, those children.
Silvano's family has more of a tie to California than my German Scottish ancestors who came here far later. And I think that's something we lose track of often.
Sure. And I'll say this, because I know this is when we came in today, you know, what I hope we can get to are, we have these special programs that both of our guests manage and support and created in their respective communities that bring children and families, children and their caregivers together, which in both instances, there was a lack of these services in the county, so parent-child engagement programs. And they were well established in some areas, like San Luis Obispo Central has had great parent participation classes for years. The South County, a little bit uneven. They have had parent participation over the years, but it wasn't enough to meet the need. And in the North County, where Silvano is and the MICOP office is, there is a larger and growing mixed echo population that certainly there aren't even a lot of English-speaking parent-child participation groups in the North County, but even less so were the Mixteco speaking. And so that's what I think these two programs are bringing to the county.
Let me remind folks that this is a program we'd like you to participate in if you're so inclined. You can give us a call at 805-781-3875. That's 805-781-3875. With your questions, your comments. If you have some experience in working with or being a member of one of these communities with the First Five program, we would love to hear about that also. It's a topic for a lot of us that's new and different, even though the people who are being served by these programs are the ones that we deal with daily. We deal with them as employees and businesses we interact with. We deal with them as people that are just in the community that we may never do any more than say hello to. And in some cases, I don't know what way to put this, but it may come out strange. But we also tend to be the ones who look at their children, especially the under five children, and smile and talk to their kids, because I do not let a single child pass by that looks like they want to make eye contact that I don't talk to, because it's how we help build community. Before we get into Megan and Silvano's programs, I'm curious, we're talking about two programs today.
Yeah.
How many programs of a similar nature or diverse nature does First Five currently offer funding for in San Luis County?
That's a great question. So what we tend to do is about every 4 years we do our strategic planning, where we look at the needs in the community. And sometimes for years and years and years, the needs stay the same oftentimes. And that's probably true for a lot of communities. Things don't, you know, the pace of change is pretty slow when it comes to these sorts of things, because they require resources and people and money, and that isn't always readily available in the nonprofit and public agency kind of communities. But within our planning, this is just us, because there are plenty of other really great family-serving agencies in the county. But for us, we focus our efforts and our program funding on early health foundations, early learning and child care, and parent engagement and connection, which is what today's topic is on. Under early health, just for instance, I'll just name a few. We have breastfeeding education and support. We have, I mentioned this before, we support oral health programs, both at the health department and through Tolosa Children's Dental Center. We have an incredible health access training program where one of our consultants, Becca Carcel, does an amazing job of working with professionals throughout the community to help them with resources that they can deliver to families. We have a partnership with CAPSLO, the Community Action Partnership of San Luis Obispo, that on a program called Help Me Grow. And Help Me Grow is a program that helps do developmental screenings for families that have questions about, hey, how is my kid doing? They're 2 years old. I see this other 2-year-old next to me, and they seem to be, you know, they're talking a lot, or they're walking already, or they're doing, and my kid isn't doing it. So Help Me Grow helps parents assess when they have a question like that and how they're doing. We have vision screening. And then under early learning and child care, I'm sure, Fred, you've heard a ton about in our county, we have a child care crisis. And so I won't go into all of our programs, but we have something like Ticket to Teach with the County Office of Education that we support that program that helps with workforce development. We have a Building Connections program that we do with Capslo that where they are working with child care providers to try to elevate their own professional development. Under parent engagement, we have a program, Parents Helping Parents, that works with children with developmental with special needs. We have the LINC Family Resource Center in Atascadero does an amazing job of reaching families and supporting them that have, you know, families with young children that have a lot of critical acute needs. And then what else am I missing? Oh, we have a perinatal mental health program that's run through Pregnancy and Parenting Center of San Luis Obispo. And then we have our amazing parent learning pods and Aprendiendo with MyCop, Learning with Mom and Dad. And so, yeah, I'll take a breath here and let you go, Fred.
You've set a great stage here. Let me once again remind folks they can give us a call at 805-781-3875. Be part of this discussion. If you do not want to be on the air with a question or a comment, you are welcome to call in. And Brad Kyle, our engineer in studio, will take your information down and pass it on to us if you'd prefer a more confidential discussion. We can also pass on your contact information to our guests if you would like to have a discussion beyond today, too. Megan and Silvano, Jason has done a great job of setting the stage as to what in the world you guys are doing on a daily basis. I'm going to start with Megan. Give us an idea of what your program is and what you presented to First Five to become part of this.
Yeah, well, thank you so much, Fred, for having us here today. So, you know, the program that I'm a part of was actually, it was sort of, and as Jason was talking, so many things kind of came to mind because there really was a lack of these parent engagement groups in the South County. So this particular program actually really was born right after COVID. I want to say 2021. Is sort of when there was the need, and we kind of called it these learning pods, which the word pod was kind of these small social groups of people that were gathering. You know, you sort of had your group of people that you would see. And that name has kind of stuck. So we've actually toured with the idea of switching the name up at some point. But I came on in 2022, so it's been 3 years. And essentially what we do is we, through the funding, through First Five, we put on 4 series a year. 2 are in English, 2 are in Spanish, and it's all down in South County in Grover Beach. So the program has really evolved throughout the years in terms of finding kind of where the sweet spot is in terms of what topics are really relevant to parents and what we want to continue. We've kind of tweaked it as we've gone on. And we really, I mean, bringing back that word, that engagement, we really want every week to feel like when these parents show up that they are learning, they're connecting, they're making friends, they're building community, and just really integrating themselves with those who are raising kids around them. So going back to kind of First Five, so our program is geared towards those with newborns to those with 5 years old, those with kids with who are 5 years old. So our English series is broken up into 4 groups. So we have a group of about 12 parents and kids, 0 to 1 year old, 1 to 2, 2 to 3, and 3 to 5 year olds that meet once a week for 8 weeks with us. And we have instructors who join us, who are, we call them our experts in the community, and they bring a wide variety of topics from art, sensory play, gross motor skills. So we're talking dancing and movement, arts, nutrition, yoga, And it is, these families show up every week, are so excited to come. The kids are excited to see their friends. It really becomes, for me, it's certainly a highlight of the week. And I really think it is for these families, too. That's kind of the feedback that we've gotten. So that's sort of the nuts and bolts of our program. It's been going on for 3 years. It's really thriving. We have so much interest in between the sessions. I'm constantly getting questions about when's the next one coming up and how do we sign up. So I feel like we've really gained so much traction in terms of just interest in the program, people who are excited to join us. And yeah, I love being a part of it and just so thankful that, for this opportunity to kind of share about what we do.
Are there any things that you, and when you look at your overall program,
yeah,
are there things that you specifically notice about your popular, the population that signs up for your programs?
Yeah.
What are there, things that they're looking for that are just readily not available to them that you can become a conduit for?
I think so. I mean, I think part of what we do is we're kind of a liaison to other contacts. I mean, I've had people ask questions about, okay, well, now my kid's four. How do you know how I register them for school? Which, you know, that's not essentially part of our program. But, of course, I get out my phone. We figure out where what school they're going to be going to and get them all connected up. So we are absolutely, I feel like, kind of fitting that need of – we're introducing them to a lot of, to each other, first and foremost, that people are meeting families with, oh my gosh, your kid's 14 months, my kid's 16 months. Because when they're under two, we're really still talking in months. And, you know, meeting friends. And I've had people tell me they have met their best mom friend or their best, you know, their kid has their little bestie through these programs. And I remember my oldest is 13, and I participated in a similar program that doesn't exist anymore. And I still have my daughter actually carpools every day with a girl and a mom that I met when they were 1 year old. So I feel like these programs are really kind of planting those seeds for building strong connections that will really carry them through. Yeah, so I think I might have gone off a little bit, Fred.
No, but, that's really right on the point, because yeah. I think that's one of the things that probably comes up in discussion is because we're dealing with communities that are of diverse backgrounds, what you can do to get people – if the only thing I have in common with you is we each have a 2-year-old,
right,
it becomes easy to start a conversation.
Absolutely. Okay. It really does. It's sort of like a built-in friend when you have that in common. You know, you already have a huge thing in common.
Okay. So. And dealing with 2-year-olds, you in most cases you're not dealing with a child who is very vocal, if vocal at all. So the bonds and the community that they build among 2-year-olds,
right,
becomes a conspiracy. No, becomes a new community that is not driven by language or background. It's driven by what do we have in common? We're both two.
Yes. Yes.
And I think that's one of the things that builds community.
I agree. Yeah. So we do have, as I mentioned, we have 4 different series per year. We have 2 that are in English, and then we have 2 pods. We call them, you know, the pods or the parent participation series that are bilingual that are held at the Oceana Library. And those, we have a really good mix of families that are bilingual, that really are English and Spanish speaking, families that maybe are not, that are just English speaking. And then we always have a couple families that are just Spanish speaking. And I feel like just seeing these families, like you said, it doesn't matter. These kids are all just there interacting and playing, and the parents become good friends too. And those language barriers really aren't a barrier at that point. It's
That's
just
so great.
Connecting.
Yeah, we do have a caller. We generally take a break right about 1:30, but I'd rather get to the caller first. We have Bob from Baywood Park. Bob, you have some questions. You were focused towards either myself or Jason.
Yeah, Jason, this is Bob Watt.
Hey, Bob. And, good to hear from you.
Thank you. You as well. And just a little background. I was a first 5 commissioner for 9 years, and I'm president of the board for the Center for Family Strengthening. And I just wanted to give a shout-out to the Promotoris Collaborative. that is part of our Center for Family Strengthening family, and just that a model that it could be for reaching out to the Mestizo community. And it, you know, basically involves bringing in members of the community to train and to reach out to the folks that they know best. And so I just wanted to shout out to them and tell you to keep up the good work.
Thanks, Bob. Bob was a tremendous commissioner for First Five for many, many years. Bob was, I believe, a teacher and a principal in Cambria previously, and a strong advocate for all the services you see around the table. And I know that Silvano could speak to the Promotoris programs that exist in the county. I know they use them at MECOP, and Center for Family Strengthening has an established Promotoris program that works a lot on sort of word of mouth kind of education in the community. But I'll step back and let Silvano speak to that.
Yeah. Yes. And Bob, go ahead, Silvano. We can wait on the break for you.
Okay. Thank you so much. I'm Silvano with Maiko, and thank you for shout out that. I appreciate it. And yes, there are a big population with the research in 2023. So we found around 3,000 to 8,000 Mestizo speaking population that works in the field. So this is a big need for them to have a space for the families where they can come with their children under 5 years old and have a safe space, learn, prepare for the kindergarten. So I just wanted to say that.
Okay. We'll follow up on that after the break then, too. Bob, thanks for the call. Thanks for your support over the years
for this program.
All right. Take care, you guys.
Bye. We're going to take our break. This is Central Coast Voices, and I'm talking with folks from First Five and First Five funded programs today. It's an exciting topic. We'll be back with you shortly. Brad in the studio will take things over and get me to shut up for at least a minute or so.
You know, our fall pledge drive is underway, and what we are doing is asking you to help us reach our goal of $150,000. Remember, folks, listener support pays for the majority of the funds that KCBX needs to operate. And now, even more so than ever, now that all the federal funding for public media has been unfortunately eliminated, what that means is that we won't receive the federal dollars we were counting on in October and beyond. It's a big blow. So this is where the community can really help us out and step up and show their support for KCBX. So renew your support or become a new member today. Visit us at kcbx.org online, or during business hours, you can always call us at 800-549-8855. Central Coast Voices will continue in just a moment.
I'm Maria Hinojosa. Next time on Latino USA, our producer, Tasha Sandoval, takes us back to Colombia, what it's like to leave the United States and go back to the motherland.
I think I want to prove something to myself. Is Colombia still home? And if it's not, can I make it home again?
That's next time on Latino USA.
On the next Fresh Air, reality winner, a former military linguist, was working at the NSA in 2017 when she leaked a classified document describing Russian cyber attacks targeting the 2016 elections. We'll talk with Winner about her arrest, trial, imprisonment, and current life. She's written a new memoir. Join us.
That's a look ahead to our Thursday here on KCBX. Latino USA is following this program from 2 till 3, then it's Fresh Air from 3 till 4. Right now, let's return to Fred Monroe and his guests on Central Coast Voices. Back to you, Fred.
Thank you, Brad. Always be glad to work with you and glad to be on the program. As you folks know, we're talking about the First Five and programs tied to it today. We've talked to Jason Wells and Megan Silotka, and we are going to talk with Silvano Vasquez. He's the Associate Program Director of the MICOP program in Paso Robles, and he'll explain that too. Silvano, why don't we talk about what the origin of your program is and how it became involved with First Five.
Yes, thank you so much for inviting me to be here with you around the table. So, first of all, I want to recognize that we are living in the indigenous land, Chumash land. So that's very important because we respect them and they led us to live here in the community as well. And also, I want to explain a little bit about our organization, MICOP, or MICA, Mixteco Indigenous Community Organizing Project, started doing advocacy work supporting families in 2001. So it started in Ventura, and also the in 2010, I'm gonna go a little bit back about collaboration with First Five in Ventura. So in 2010, First Five Ventura funded a pilot program for communities, Mixteco community, indigenous community in the county. So now we have the honor to get funding from First Five. Now we have a pilot program in Paso Robles. So it's a cultural responsive bilingual parent-child engaged program. And also we did our research for demography starting in 2023. So that's what we learned. How many indigenous Mixteco communities are part in our community. So as I say before, you have a question?
No, go ahead and re-emphasize the number.
Okay. So I was going to say that we have a big Mixteco population here contributing many ways, working in the fields, different industries, paying taxes, you know, and in our office in Paso Robles it's smaller than others as Santa Maria or Ventura, but we're still growing, and we have few programs also. And this is the newest program that we have now. The First Five is called Aprendiendo con Mamá y Papá, Learning with Mom and Dad. And these programs, we are doing two to three cohorts per year. 8 to 10 families attend this workshop, these classes, and we had the opportunity to have a group of parents in June. So that was the first one, and we learned a lot of that. So we have 6 families with one or two kids, and we received a lot of feedback from parents. They didn't have a space where to get together, as Jason and you share, you know. Sometimes indigenous are marginalized, and sometimes people forget about our community, and this is really good because now they have a safe space where they can get together, learn, especially for their children, prepare their children. And we also supporting the whole county, the whole community with this small program. You know, we support teachers because if we help the families and their children to be prepared, learn colors, identify numbers, and all of that. So we also supporting the teachers because they're going to go to school, and they also know. They need to learn about what is the expectation of going to school for the future, you know, mm-hmm. and all of that.
Yeah. There historically has been a perspective among the Anglo population that the Mixteco community is just, for lack of a better word, I can't think of it, a subculture of a Spanish community, and that the language is really the same, and it's not. So I suspect for some of those folks, they're conquering two language issues.
Yeah, and so something that I learned from the community now is that there is a Latino community, big Latino community, and they sometimes say you're also Latino, but now because we identify ourselves as indigenous community from Mexico, and there is a they're having a difficult time here persevering their language. A lot of kids do forget their language or all of that because they're not having a space to get to come together and talk about that. I don't know if I answered your question.
No, you did. That really clarifies that standpoint. Let me remind folks, they can give us a call at 805-781-3875. That's 781-3875. And we can talk about what First Five does in these two programs and beyond that. Jason gave us a summary of the giant mountain of programs that the First Five does. Megan, let me get back to you for a second. The programs that you do, and somewhere in your notes, you actually commented that one of the questions you get or one of the misconceptions you get is that people don't sign up for these programs because they believe they come with a fee.
Yeah. So, that's
a, that probably that's that, a that applies to all the programs. It applies to Silvano's
program. For sure.
Program,
I think nothing's free these days, right? Yeah. So I think, you know, any class that you kind of look into, and my kids are a little bit older now, but still you look at sports things or art classes or anything, and it's like, you know, pricey to mm-hmm. do any of these things. So I think people assume that, you know, how are we going to kind of fit this into the monthly budget, you know, especially if during this time when the kids are real young, they have one parent staying home. That's one of the beautiful things about this program is that it is free for everyone to participate. So we're, you know, there is absolutely no charge to join us. It is for all families, all children. We even want to cut down any potential barriers. So we have a child care provider there. If someone has a baby that they're bringing and they're thinking, oh, my gosh, I want my 3-year-old to participate, but how am I going to manage, you know, the baby on the hip and the 3-year-old? We have Martina who joins us each week, and she is the baby whisperer, and she helps with older siblings, younger siblings. So mm-hmm. we cut down that barrier. We bring snacks so people don't have to, you know, necessarily remember to pack the whole snack bag. So we really try to make this program accessible to everyone.
Fred, I was going to jump in if you don't mind, because we were talking about this, and I think there's an interesting difference in the two programs here, because Silvano, I know we've talked about with your program that I believe, and you can speak to this, that you invite if a family has two children or three children, different ages, they can all come. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And
say more about why that is.
Yeah, because there's a lot of families that need it. As I said, they have now, they're not having a good space to get together. So we're open to all the family. Actually, they're not a formal registration. They're not a formal way to get this. Just call the office or parents agencies can refer families to us, so they cannot. They don't need to register or something like that in rules to get into the program. It is open. It's open to everyone, but it's especially for those the Mixteco families who speak indigenous language. Mm-hmm. So.
That's a good point because it occurred to me, and we might have gotten to it as a question, but you've kind of breached it or broached it here, pardon me. if First Five is focused on pre-birth to five-year-olds, if all of a sudden your six-year-old says, how come I can't participate anymore because I'm not five anymore, it's not a big burden on the program to say, gee, we can expand this in a way that includes more of a broad family in the daily dialogue, if you will, or the program. Does that come up often, Jason?
It comes up more than you think, because what happens is we have a legislation that says we can only support families with children 0 to 5. But families don't have a line in the sand about the children and what they do when they hit 5 years old or when they're six and older. And so I like to think of it kind of like this, that as we are addressing, you know, when we are trying to meet needs for families, we're looking at the whole family. And so let's say that there is a challenge for the 10-year-old in the family, and there also happens to be a 3-year-old in the family. 3-year-old, let's just say, is thriving, but the 10-year-old might have, you know, some issues. Maybe they've got some learning issues, or maybe they've got some things that need addressing. And so we don't necessarily – like our programs don't necessarily address that child, but they may be – they may have programs that are available to them because there's a 0 to 5-year-old still there. Mm-hmm. Some of the family advocates that work in the community, we call them our – 0 to 5. We say 0 when we're talking about prenatal, just for shorthand. But we'll say 0 to 5 family advocates, and maybe there's a challenge that's happening with mom and dad, but they happen to have a 3-year-old, and so the family advocate is going to see that. So we'll cast. Sometimes we have to cast a wider net mm-hmm. to be able to support the families that have young children, and you know, for us, we'd rather make sure that we're working with supporting the whole family, and worry about the gray area of you know, oh, well, they're older than 5. Primarily, the direct services that we support go towards 0 to 5. I would say more generally, when we are doing advocacy and we are doing convening, you know, all of the things that we try to work on support the whole family, not just 0 to 5-year-olds.
Go ahead, Savano.
Yeah, I wanted to add a little bit about that. As my experience with the parents and promotoras, the first classes that we had, families came together, the mom and 10 years old children, 9. And, we didn't want to close the door and learn outside, you know. We invite them, come inside, participate as your parents are doing. Join us. So that's something important, because it's not necessarily just for under 5 years old. Also, imagine 0 to 1 years old, 2, they cannot do the activities that all they are doing, you know, manualidades, crafts, and mm-hmm. or eat healthy snacks, or sing, or paint. The 0 to 1 years old, they cannot do that. So, but in order to support those, the promotora also do management case, helping the parents with enrolling with medical, ensuring that they're receiving call free. So helping different ways, filling out applications, providing resources, food, etc. So, because just as our experience is just 3 to 5 years old can have the ability to paint, learn how to paint, and sing, and those activities. But imagine 0 years old or just 1. So
yeah. You have to have them all there.
Yeah, bring the whole group.
Yeah, the word that comes to mind for me is retroactive small children.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Well, I'm serious, because First 5 has been around for over about 20 years.
25 plus now.
25 plus years. So everybody who is eligible to be part of a First 5 child is within that age range, which means that kids that are over 18 or 20 are not part of the program anymore. But so how about if we talk about whether or not you are allowed to be a retroactive less than 5-year-old and participate in the program? Well, and that's somewhat flip, and I apologize for that. But what comes to mind also is First 5 is the conduit that you, the two of you, and other programs get to work with to set up the right channel for these programs. Mm-hmm. Your programs do not necessarily limit you to only people who are under 5.
Yes, that's absolutely true.
And also, if they are 6 years old, 7 years old, and need different services, we look for the partners, what they're providing, Capslow, Tima, South County. We look for them, what they're providing, and refer those for
different services.
Partners. There's a side benefit to that, as I think about it also, and that is that you help teach those older kids how to be better siblings with their younger siblings.
Very true.
And that's a tough area in any family.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, and part of, I think both Megan and Silvano have said this, that You know, there are some kids that show up to parent child engagement groups that haven't been to childcare yet, or they haven't been to a preschool yet. And so they're getting used to their first larger social groups, if you will, and they're learning to play with others. Maybe there's some socializing with their neighbors or some of the members of their family. But to sort of practice what it might be like in school later or in preschool later, then that's the opportunity. The other thing that I wanted to mention, and maybe they can, you know, Silvano or Megan, you can speak to this, is the idea that this is not a parenting class.
Right.
That this is – there is some learning that goes on. There, both the children and the adults learn for sure. But this is fun. We at First Five talk about our vitamin K days. Largely, we're at the office working on computers. When we get to go to a program – parent engagement program, parent-child engagement program, and we get to be around some of the children, it's amazing for us because it reminds us of what we're here for.
What we're doing, yes.
Maybe the fun part of what this can bring to families.
Yeah. Do you want to go, Silvano? Or?
Yeah, a little bit. That's a good point because a lot of parents can say, I know how to be a good parent, but that's not our our idea, teaching how to be parents. But because each family, each parents, they really know well how to create youth. So the idea of this programs, you know, is bring them together, build the community connection.
That's great.
Yeah, that's what I would echo too, is that, you know, the learning sort of comes through the connections and comes through the community, you know, just that sense of community that we're not necessarily there to disseminate information and to, you know, to teach them how to be a better parent. But I feel like just through, you know, observation of seeing how, I mean, I feel like a lot of those side conversations of parents discussing how things, you know, maybe struggles with getting their child to fall asleep or to eat. So a lot of those side discussions are where the learning happens, just through those connections.
Yeah. We're getting towards the end of the program, and as most of our regular listeners know, I make sure at the last few minutes you guys get the last word because I talk too much. Silvano, I'm going to start with you. What is the couple of key points you want to make sure our listeners take home with them today?
Yes, I really want to encourage families to that speak Mixteco, or if you work together with someone who speaks Mixteco, indigenous families, just share their resources with them. Tell about what you hear today, about those programs, First Five. If you don't know how to contact me, contact directly First Five, Jason. He has all our information. But I really want to emphasize the indigenous community, Mixteco communities, are part of our community and contributing. And I think diversity makes a town or county rich. You know, diversity can make it stronger. And I just want to say thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you. Megan, yes. Final thoughts.
Final thoughts. Well, just to kind of repeat again, just because I feel like it's so important that these programs are available to everyone, free of charge. We welcome new participants. If you want to reach out to me, I'll my email is Megan, megan.scyc@gmail.com. Feel free to shoot me an email. We'd love to get you signed up. We have our next session starting in October. And thank you so much, Central Coast Voices and Fred, for allowing us to be a part of this today. It's been a great program.
Glad we can do it. Jason.
Boy, it's hard to follow because the programs that Megan and Silvano talked about are so important to the community. So the first thing I would say is just thank you to Silvano and Megan for being here and for doing these programs. These programs, South County Youth Coalition, MICOP, are addressing needs in the community that previously had not been addressed for years. Yes, First Five is supporting those through funding, but we're grateful to and honored to work with and have these partnerships. Beyond that, you know, when Megan spoke to these programs are available to all children. You know, I've worked in other public health programs, and one of the things that we used to say was everyone is somebody's child. Mm-hmm. And when you think about what programs and what needs people have, think of it in that context. What would you want for your child? What did you want when you were a child? It's easy once you're past the 0 to 5 age stage to kind of forget what families and kids are going through at that time. Parenting, caregiving is really hard, mm-hmm. and it can be isolating. It can be emotionally draining. It can be physically draining.
Absolutely.
It can be lack of sleep. And so parent-child engagement programs like these we've talked about today are an opportunity for parents, caregivers to show up at any level, any language, well, at least the languages that we're providing, you know,
yes,
mixed
yes,
echo, yeah. Spanish and English, and be a part of something. Have a connection with another parent that's going through something. A child who can meet another child that may be the same age as them and be able to play together. These are the things that exist. And plus, you heard me earlier naming all the other programs that we support. And so we're trying to do that. First Five is going to be around for another 25 years, and we want to be able to continue to support and address the needs in the community for families with young children.
Thank you for your comments, and thanks for being here today. I want to remind our listeners, next week, Chris Kington Barker will be here. She'll have a conversation with some folks from the Rose Care Group as they discuss the recent closing of Wilshire Community Health Community Service and Community Services, and how their organizations are stepping up in their efforts to fill gaps in health services in San Luis Obispo County. Central Coast Voices is a production of KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. We appreciate their support of the program. You can reach us if you want to contact any of our guests or any questions about any program we've been talking about. You can email us at voices@kcbx.org, and your comments and questions and need for contact information will get passed on to our guests. Thank you to Brad Kyle, our in-studio engineer, and the support of KCBX Public Radio. We could not do this by ourselves. And thank you to my guests, Jason Wells, Megan Silotka, and Silvano Vasquez, for basically being here today and talking about wonderful programs, because it's really all about our kids. This has been Central Coast Voices.